how Christ meets human needs. And the vehicle that we shall be using to discover this teaching of Jesus Christ is the Gospel of Mark. We will be going through this Gospel practically verse by verse, although we shall have to deal briefly with many of them. The Gospel of Mark is a very interesting book. It's deceptively small, it only has 16 chapters, and it covers actually only 2 years of Christ's life. It opens with the story of the beginnings, and then abruptly leaves a gap of perhaps 15 months, and picks up again at Christ's second Passover during his ministry. Christ's ministry lasted for 3.5 years. It ended at the Passover, so it began at the Feast of Tabernacles, that is, about the month of October, give or take some days. It was at that time that Jesus was baptized, and then for some 6 weeks or more, he was locked away in the wilderness for his temptation. By that time, he must have been very weak and emaciated. It would take him some weeks to catch up his strength again. So the temptation would occupy November and parts of December, and then he would take some time to build up his strength again. And the marriage feast recorded by John took place about January. From the temptation to the Passover in 29, he began at the fall of 27. The beginning of 28 was the wedding. All through 28 and the first 3 or 4 months of 29, Mark is silent. Then picks up Jesus at his second Passover and goes in detail for 2 full years. Mark is replete with records of Christ's miracles. He deals with a very large number of them, and strangely, he deals with very few of Christ's parables. In Mark, we see Jesus Christ as the servant, the divine servant, working almost night and day for the blessing of his fellows here on earth. It's a ministry of extreme activity. He goes all the time, and Mark notes the occasions in which Christ is sleepy or tired and needs rest. As we think of these lessons, let us focus on the ministry of Jesus Christ as the divine servant. The time has come. This week we shall study the first chapter of Mark to verse 34. That is, we shall study 34 verses. And as you will notice in the overview, this has been divided into 3 segments. Number 1 deals with the ministry of John the Baptist and the baptism of Christ. John the Baptist had been the predicted forerunner of the Messiah. Long before he came, Isaiah, Malachi, other prophets had looked forward to his coming. And Mark introduces John declaring that the kingdom of God had come and that all should get ready for that time. It describes John's clothing as a prophet. Verse 6 of Mark chapter 1, it gives to us his diet, which, as Desire of Ages informs us, was purely vegetarian. And his ministry was preaching. The word preach throughout the Gospels means to proclaim. It's got the thought of the backing of a king who sends out his representatives to proclaim the royal message, edicts, declarations, whatever they may be. And John's proclamation was that one much greater, more important than he, should come to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Then, verse 9, Jesus came from Nazareth. This would be in the fall of AD 27, down to the Jordan where John was baptizing, and there would be baptized by John in the Jordan, endorsed by the descending Spirit as a dove, and confirmed by the voice from heaven. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit meet together. And immediately the Spirit driveth Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. And there he was with the wild beasts. This simple statement covers one of the greatest conflicts that the universe has ever seen. Satan had been preparing for this event for millennia. He believed that when he had Jesus as a man, with all the foibles of humanity, that he could then overcome him as easily as he had overcome Adam long before. Jesus put himself to the greatest disadvantage. For 40 days he neither ate nor drank. Dehydrated, starving, weak, hallucinating, suddenly there appears a brilliant being representing the messenger from heaven. But Jesus overcame through his trust in the Word. And sometime late November or early December, Jesus went to a place of seclusion to rest and build himself back up. With verse 14 of Mark 1, now after that John was put in prison, Mark jumps some 15 or 16 months. He says nothing about AD 28 and what Christ did during that year. He says nothing about the beginnings of the ministry of Christ, but picks up the story in 29 when John had been thrown into prison. And the third segment of our lesson, dealing with these verses 14 through 34 of chapter 1, cover four segments of John's story. First, the beginning of the ministry in Nazareth. Jesus went to his hometown. There he proclaimed the gospel. He read in Isaiah. He preached on Isaiah. And his kinsmen and fellow citizens were so enraged that they took him to the brow of a hill and would have lynched him. John said very little about the details of this encounter in the city of Nazareth. But this is where he began his ministry. Mark continues with the walk by the seaside and the call of four fishermen: James and John and Peter and Andrew. Give some details of their ship, their father, their business, their servants, their nets. Their success is implicit. Jesus called them, and they immediately left to follow him. Christ here begins the building up of the apostolate, the leadership that will establish the Christian church after he leaves. And it's interesting, as we consider the various experiences into which Jesus draws his followers. When he came to Capernaum, verse 21 of Mark 1, he entered into the synagogue, and there he taught. recognized, and those who listened were astonished. But immediately a man with an unclean spirit, demon-possessed, attacked Jesus Christ and his ministry. What have we got to do with thee? I know that thou art a holy one of God. But Christ immediately shushed him, because he did not want this kind of disreputable person talking about him and bringing opprobrium on his cause. So he rebuked him, told him to hold his peace, and cast out the unclean spirit from this man. In the synagogue, as an endorsement of his authority, his power as the Son of God, so that all who listened would say, where does he get this power, and would be turned to think about Jesus and his ways. Immediately after that, verses 29 to 34, he entered into the house of Peter. And there he discovered Peter's mother-in-law sick of a fever. He restored her on so that she could minister to them on this Sabbath luncheon that they held there. And I would love to have heard the thrilling conversation that afternoon. But as the evening came, multitudes were brought in all kinds of physical and spiritual condition, possessed with the devil, many diseases, and he healed them all. But he suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. In this opening lesson in Mark, we begin with Christ's baptism and his opening message. Then we have a gap of some 15 or 16 months, and we take up the ministry at the time of his second Passover in AD 29, as he began to serve in Nazareth and the call of the fishermen. The emphasis of this lesson is that Jesus Christ has been prepared in time and eternity by prophecy, by proclamation, by the evidence of his miracles, his power over Satan, as the divine servant ready to serve God's people. Now, as we think of the application of this lesson to us, we too are part of a divinely timed movement. We too, as Adventists, have come into being in the fullness of time. We have the centuries looking down to the rise of the three angels' messages. By many infallible proofs, the prophetic finger points to 1844 and the subsequent years that have followed. The time has been fulfilled. The proclamation of the everlasting gospel has been carried into all the world. The power to overcome the inroads of Satan, to cast out evil spirits, to meet all kinds of opposition, that has been clearly manifest through the centuries. What are we doing as we fit in as Christ's fellow servants to serve, meeting the needs? Jesus Christ not only proclaimed in the synagogue, but he also studied in Peter's home. He carried out a public ministry, and he also had personal service in the homes of anyone who would invite him in. And his presence brought healing and consolation and peace and hope. As we take this lesson in the example of Christ and internalize it, bring it within our systems, our beings, it should be with a deepening consciousness that we are part of God's outworking plan for the salvation of souls. We are his representatives in the world today. We are guaranteed success as Christ was guaranteed success when he came here on earth. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. There's no more delay. Let us repent and believe the Gospels. God's purposes, no haste and no delay. So with a calm assurance, as Jesus possessed in the long ago, we today should follow in his steps.